about 88 miles from London, or 141 kilometers if you are on the other side of the pond, is a very famous tourist attraction called Stonehenge. So you see it on the screen up here, it's Stonehenge. Now, it's a beautiful monument. But what does it mean? Nobody seems to know. I've spent weeks trying to find anybody who's had any idea what Stonehenge was about. Now, when they built this, I'm sure it had a great reason. I know there are people who presume things, like it was a piece of timekeeping equipment, or there's some very exotic ideas of how it came to be. But whatever it was, it isn't now. It's just a monument. Just a bunch of stones stacked up upon each other. And people drive up and they look at this monument, trying to figure out what it means. The monument stands, but the message is gone. Now, we are extremely blessed at First Baptist Church with a great building. I mean, we have 30 acres of land here. And we have this beautiful auditorium and this beautiful sanctuary and this beautiful building with a gym and with all the Bible study rooms downstairs and the children's department that we have that's so beautiful and the offices. We are so blessed. We have the cube down here. And we are debt-free on all of this because God has blessed us and because you have been faithful. We have all this beauty. When you drive past this church, I'm very proud to look up at the stained glass window and see it lit up and say, that's a beautiful church building. Do you ever worry? Can you even imagine that someday the message will be forgotten, and people will just see a beautiful building and forget what it's all about. Now, I realize you can't even fathom that happening, but I guarantee you, whoever stacked those stones upon each other probably thought, nobody will ever forget why we're doing this. This will be remembered forever, but it's been forgotten. And there's a lot of churches in the world who have forgotten the message. Now, I use that term loosely, church, by the way. Could that ever happen? As we sit in our pews today, what do we think the purpose of our church is? How well have we conveyed that to the world? How well have we shared that with our community? So you know what I did? I went out on the street. And I went and I started just randomly going up and sticking a microphone in people's face and asking them what they thought our purpose of First Baptist Church really was. So watch this.
We go online in St. Charles to figure out what people think of First Baptist Church of St. Charles. So we're asking basically three questions. Do they know about First Baptist Church of St. Charles? What do they think our purpose should be? And what kind of a value can First Baptist Church of St. Charles bring to the community? And this is what we found out. What do you think the purpose of a church like First Baptist Church St. Charles is?
Well, I would hope that it's speaking the truth about the cross and using the Bible to use that as its guide.
All right, and what value do you think First Baptist Church could bring to the community?
If it could show people that there's hope in all their instances and deals, life's deals that it gets thrown at them, you know, that's the key is that God's always with us. Jesus is with us. He's our Savior that can help us through all things if we just give Him the opportunity.
Have you ever heard of First Baptist Church of St. Charles?
I have.
Okay. You know where it is?
Is it down that way?
Yes, it's right there. That's steeple.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. What do you think the purpose of First Baptist Church St. Charles really is?
I think it's to spread the word of God to the people.
So in your opinion, what do you think the purpose or the role of First Baptist Church or a church like it should be?
I think it's to bring people closer to God and educate them about God.
One other question. What kind of a value do you think we as a church should be able to bring to our community?
I think it's I think churches should teach good morals the Christian spirit, and just to be better people.
Have you ever heard of First Baptist Church of St. Charles?
No, I haven't.
So the question I have, first of all, what do you think the role of First Baptist Church of St. Charles or any church in our community should be?
To gather together, to praise God, and to help one another and our community.
What kind of help do you think the church should be able to bring to a community?
Help those who are in need, the most vulnerable of our community.
Have you ever heard of First Baptist Church of St. Charles?
I have not.
What do you think the role or the purpose of a church like ours should be?
Guiding the people in the community towards the right way to act according to the Bible.
Are you familiar with First Baptist Church of St. Charles?
Yeah, I am. I have some friends that go there.
Okay, how about you?
I'm not.
What do you think the role or the purpose of a church like First Baptist Church should be?
To be the hands and feet of Jesus, to bring the gospel to the community at large, and also provide a place for believers to come and be the body and support one another, build one each other up.
The only other thing I would probably add to that is that kind of being a lighthouse where those in the neighborhood can feel comfortable coming, whether it's for some projects like Bible school or children's church or even something as simplistic as an Easter egg hunt.
I love the idea of providing opportunities to invite people in, but also maybe going out and having different activities to reach out, a reason to reach out, whether it's like providing meals or food or a fun activity or something like that to create community.
Have you ever heard of First Baptist Church of St. Charles?
Yes. That's the one off of Moogie, is it?
Yes, that's exactly right.
I practiced there in an orchestra. I was just there last night.
What do you think the purpose or the role of a church like First Baptist Church should be?
Well, I believe that church, you know, anything like that is to bring people together and to share and to grow and I just, and to love, you know, I mean, to help each other out, you know, that's, and to learn.
So what do you think the purpose of First Baptist Church of St. Charles should be? What do you think the message should be? The Word of God is very clear that the purpose of a church is to bring glory to God, to glorify God in everything we do. Now, we do that in a few different ways. We do it, as we just did, through worship. We do it through evangelism, by sharing the gospel with people and bringing people to Jesus Christ. We do it through fellowship. We do it through discipleship. We do it through caring for the community. All these things we do. But we do these not to promote ourselves, not even to promote the church, but to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Haggai is an interesting book. So if you haven't found it, start turning your Bibles to Haggai. If you want to go to the center between the Old and New Testament and go left a few books, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, go back to Haggai. The book of Haggai is about rebuilding the temple. The temple of God, following a time of great persecution where God has judged them because they had forgotten God. God had not been as important in their lives as he should be. And so because of idolatry and because of, which is putting things before God, I think sometimes we say that in a modern church context, and we say idolatry, and all of us sit here and we think, well, I don't have idols in my life. I don't have carved images. I don't have things on my mantle that I worship. I don't do those things. But I would say to you that we, most of us, have some kind of an idol in our lives. Understand that what an idol was to them and what God was judging them for is because they had forgotten to put God first in their lives. We're going to know some very interesting things about these people, but here's what I want you to get. The Word of God talks about the church. The New Testament is about the church. Now, the Greek term for church is ekklesia. The only reason I'm sharing this important word with you is because ekklesia means a called out people that are called out to come together to meet. The ekklesia, the church, is called out of the world to meet together. So if the ecclesia is not meeting, what are they doing? What's going on? If the church isn't coming together, then what is going on? So I think that because of all the things that's been happening in our world, it's time to start rebuilding the church. Every evangelical denomination right now is in decline. Why is that? It's not because of the pandemic. Don't blame the pandemic. So we need to step back and begin to ask ourselves these questions. So if we look back at what happened and why God was telling Hezekiah to do these things, let's understand a little bit of biblical history, Jewish history, what's going on. Because, as I said, because of idolatry and because rebellion and because they had forgotten God, God said this, I'm going to put you in captivity. And around 606 BC, God allowed Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians to bring them out of the city of Jerusalem, to burn the city and to destroy the temple and put them in Babylonian captivity for about 70 years. And then around 538 BC, about 43,000 Jews began to return to Israel, to begin to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the city and to start rebuilding the temple. And then all of a sudden, about 536, after laying the foundation for a little while, because of problems, because of stress, because of persecution from the Persians and the Samaritans, it became less convenient and threatening, and they quit. They laid their tools down, set it all aside, and they quit rebuilding the temple for 16 years. Nothing was happening. And then in 520, after political rest, God sent a man named Haggai. So in Haggai chapter 1, we're going to spend the next two Sundays talking about what God was doing through the prophet Haggai and the message and application of it to us. Understand that we're talking about the rebuilding of the temple, and I'm obviously paralleling that with the rebuilding of the church. So in Haggai chapter 1, in verse 1, the word of God says this, in the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month. See how clear he is about this? The word of the Lord. Wasn't Haggai's words. These aren't my words today. It's the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, this is what he says, thus speaks the Lord of hosts. This is God saying this, he says. The people say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, because you have sown much and bring in little. You eat and do not have enough. You drink, but are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, and no one's warm. And he who earns wages, he puts them in a bag with holes. Here we go again. Thus says the Lord. Say that with me. Thus says the Lord. Here's what he says. Consider your ways. Verse 8, go up to the mountain and bring wood and bring it to the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified. If you want to underline something in your Bible, that's a good thing to underline. Be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Here's the answer. Because of my house that is in ruins. Well, every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth will hold its fruit, for I have called for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Let's pray. God, I pray that you be with us today. God, I pray that you help us to understand your word. God, I pray that you help us to make application of it today and help us to see the reality that even in this day, you are working in the temple, but today, God, you're working in the bride, the church. Help us to see that, Lord. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. I wish there were some way that I could convey to you how important the church is. Now, the church is so important. I want you to get this. The church, the Bible refers to as the bride of Christ. So, gentlemen, think back. Look to your left. Look to your right. Look at your bride. If she's gone, it's even more precious to you, right? Your bride. Remember that day that you looked up and the doors opened and you saw her adorned in white and she's coming down the aisle and how in love you were? And if you're like me, your love has grown every day since then and it's greater and greater and greater. And how precious is she? And you would do anything in the world to protect her and you want the best for her and you want to see her. You want to be with her. You want all these things because she is your bride. Listen to me. The church is the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. So what I want us to pull out of Hezekiah today, or rather, what I want us to pull out of Haggai today, rather, are these. Number one, the reason churches lose their direction often isn't about theology, but usually it's a matter of priority. Look at what Haggai says in verse 2. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come that the Lord's house should be built. They just said, it's not time yet. There's other things going on. We need to deal with other things. We've got more important things going on in our lives. It just isn't the right time yet. Now, here's what I want you to understand about these people. Their theology was right. They knew the Word of God. They knew it better than we did. They understood the Scriptures. They made application of the Scriptures. They kept them very faithfully. They did all of these things. They loved God. They talked about God. They were religious people. They spoke religious words and had all the right words. They did all these things right, but the temple wasn't important to them. There's a lot of people in the world today that speak a haughty talk. They talk about the Lord. They talk about Christianity. They talk about all these things, but the church just isn't a priority for them. How can that possibly be? They knew Scripture, all these things. In our culture, in our world, the church of God has lost its place. There's no doubt about it. In fact, I've thought a lot about this in the last couple of days, and I've wrestled with this thought. And you know, I begin to wonder that if God doesn't judge the 21st century church, does he owe Zerubbabel? Does he owe Hezekiah? Or Haggai, rather? Does he owe them an apology? What's going on in our world today where the church is not important to people anymore? You know, we may gather, we may come together, but then the idea of bringing glory to God may not be important to us. They say that when you plant a church, about the first 12 years of that church life, the church grows and grows and grows, and then it kind of falls off the cliff because they kind of forget why they're doing what they're doing. When a person comes to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they say about the first 1 to 3 years, and then they kind of forget all about their lost friends, and they just kind of become us. All of these things are happening, and why? The reason churches lose their direction, and I believe the reason churches are in decline today, isn't about theology. It's about priority. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask this many times today. Is the church a priority in your life? Number two, our ways not our words, but our ways will reveal our true priorities. Look at verse 5, and it's also in verse 7. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And then he goes on to explain when he says, consider your ways. He lists all these things. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But consider your ways. So what is the priority that's going through our lives? I want you to understand something. We could get very busy about church things, but God didn't send his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for a committee. God didn't send Jesus. Jesus didn't go to the cross and stretch out his arms and shed his blood and die because we could have activities at church, so we could do great things. That's not why he did it. He died for the church. That's how important the church is. Jesus died for the church. And he says, thus saith the Lord, and he says this twice in verse 5 and verse 7, consider your ways. Number 3, God faithfully reminds us that his glory is to be our first priority. Now, verse 8 says this, that I may be glorified. Why did God want the temple rebuilt? Well, he knew a few things. One, that if God's people are coming together and they're fellowshipping, they're going to grow in their knowledge with Jesus Christ. And that's how we make disciples, when we come together and we do these things. We grow in knowledge of the Lord's word when we come together. We have fellowship when we come together. We glorify God when we come together because we worship and we lift our voices and we open the word. We do these things. We evangelize. Did you know that getting up and going to church actually is a form of evangelism? Your neighbors are watching you and they're expecting something different in your life. And I'm going to tell you something. Your neighbors might notice if you quit going. They may take note of that. Well, I guess the church wasn't important to him either. Now, I realize, and I speak especially to those that are watching online this morning, some people are watching at home because of health reasons and they can't get out. I understand that. This pandemic's made it very, very tough. And especially at the beginning, and now it's happening again, that's the case with a lot of people. They're at home because they have to watch online, and I'm so grateful for our own online presence and for the technology that we have that can do that. And some of you are at home watching because you have to do that. But I'm afraid some are at home watching because they found it's just easier to sit at home behind a coffee table on a couch and watch church. Watching church will never take the place of being in the presence of God's people. I want you to understand that. I'm not picking on anybody. But there comes a point, there comes a time, there comes a situation where we have to say, it's time to draw the line. Now, if you're at home because you're sick or because you're at risk, I get it. But if you're at home just because it's a whole lot easier to sit at home and watch a few minutes of church and then go out and do whatever I want to do because it is not a priority in so many people's lives. In Colossians chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. He is to be number one. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Don't want you to miss this. Everything we do must glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything we do must glorify God. Now, if you're on a security team at First Baptist Church of St. Charles, do it for the glory of God. If you serve on a committee of First Baptist Church, do it for the glory of God. Not for the notoriety, not for the power, not for anything else. Do it for the glory of God. Everything you do in this church must be done for the glory of God. When we help the needy, you can say, I just love helping needy. That's great. But listen to me. Do it for the glory of God. Because this church will cease to exist. This church will become nothing more than a monument without a message if we don't do these things for the glory of God. We would be nothing more than a clubhouse. And I don't ever want that to be the case. Number four, we, the church, will never truly flourish as God intends until we get our priorities in the right place. Verse 6 says this, you have sown much. God says you've sown much and you bring in little. In other words, you've worked hard, but you have nothing. You eat, but you don't have enough. You eat, but you're hungry. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You drink, but you're thirsty. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put them in a bag with holes. You ever had a hole in your pocket and you had some change and you put the change in your pocket and you start walking away and you hear clinking going on and it's just falling on the ground? Listen to me. God said, you're doing all these things, you're working hard, you're busy about church. We can be busy about church, we can be busy about activities. God said, all you're doing is for nothing. If you're not glorifying me, if you're not made the temple or the church a priority. My sister runs a dog rescue and she trains dogs. And I see all these videos and she has a little doggy treadmill. And she puts these little dogs on this treadmill and it just runs, you know. The dog's just running and running and running. I feel so sorry for those dogs. They have no idea what they're doing. But they're running and they're running and they're running and they're getting nowhere. That's exactly what God was saying to these people. He said, listen, you're running, you're working, you're doing all these things, but you're doing absolutely nothing to glorify me. Listen to me. We can be really busy about the things that we call church. We can be busy about all these activities, and we can sit on committees. We can be deacons. We can be all these things. You can be here every Sunday and be busy about the things of church. But it better be to glorify Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. How big of a priority is church in your family? What I've seen today is that our schedules dictate our church attendance. We have something going on Sunday morning, so we can't come to church. Can't do it, sorry. Let me ask you a question. What if we let church dictate our schedules? Think about that for a bit. That's exactly what God was telling them to do. He said, don't let your life dictate the rebuilding of the temple. He said, let the rebuilding of the temple dictate your life. We have got it so flipped around. There's something important going on Sunday morning. If there's not, I'll go to church. If there is, I'll catch church later. I'll do something different. Some of you are old enough that you remember a week-long revival. How many of you have ever heard of a week-long revival? Look at that. How many of you have ever heard of a two-week revival? How about that? You know why we don't have week-long revivals anymore? Because people won't come. Ouch. Do you know why so many churches don't have Sunday night or Wednesday night services? Because people won't come. Do you know why people don't come? Because the church is no longer a priority. It just doesn't fit my schedule. It just doesn't fit my lifestyle. You know what God would say about that? God would say, you need to change your lifestyle. You need to make your life fit God's plan. Listen to me. God was very, very, very clear about this. I want you to understand what he's telling us right here. He said, you've sown much and you're bringing little. You eat and you're hungry. You drink, but you're thirsty. You clothe, but you're cold. You know what's going on? Here's what he said. Look at verse 10. I want you to see verse 10. Verse 10 and verse 11. Open up and read that. Therefore, because of all these things, first of all, in verse 9, let me start at verse 9. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I want you to get this. God says, I blew it away. And you're wondering why your life is just a treadmill. I'm just going and going and going and going. I'm not getting anywhere. I'm just running and running and running. I can't make any headway at all. What's priority in your life? Listen to me. You and I can't ignore the precious, beautiful bride of Christ and expect to get ahead and be blessed. He said, I blew it away. Then he said, why? Because my house lays in ruins while you sit in your house. He referred as an adjective, a paneled house, as earlier. Verse 10, therefore, because of this, the heavens above withhold dew. In other words, I have not sent rain, and you have not been fruitful. For I have called for a drought on the land and the mountains, and on the grain, and the new wine, and the oil, and whatever the ground brings forth, and men, livestock, and all the labor of your hands. He said, the reason you're running on a treadmill is what he's telling them. The reason you're running and running and running and nothing's happening. The reason you're working hard and nothing seems to be blessing. And you're saying, God, I'm doing all these things. Why aren't you blessing me? Well, this is what he told them. Because you're ignoring my temple. My temple's not important to you. That's what he's telling them. So I blew all your success away. You know, we look at all the problems in the world. We look at politics, and we look at social justice and injustice. We look at all these things in the world, division, separation, and we get so frustrated with all these things, and we want to fix it by electing a person into an office. Have you ever stopped to think maybe we can fix it by making the precious bride of Christ priority in our lives? So what do? I wrote down a few action steps, and they're printed in your bulletin. I wanted you to have them. Number one, evaluate our priorities and live out the real purpose of the church. Number two, look for personal inconsistencies in our own life. What our head says versus what our heart says. You know, you can sit in that pew Sunday after Sunday, and you can be looking the part and presumably doing the part. You can be on every committee. You can do everything. But if you're not doing it for the glory of God, why are you doing it? You're still running on a treadmill. All these things are happening. Number three, eliminate excuses that justify our priorities that are out of order. You know what we do? We justify everything. But you don't understand. I work 6 days a week, and I have to get up at 5 o'clock every day, and it's just so early to get up. And so Sunday's my only day to sleep in, and I really, really need that time. Oh my goodness, I'm glad Jesus didn't say, do you realize how bad those nails are going to hurt? Do you realize the splinters on that cross? Do you realize how hard that is going to be to die for you? I'm glad he didn't feel the way we do sometimes. Quit making excuses. Number four, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us seek God first, because you and I cannot do it on our own. It's a tough battle. Make a commitment to make a difference where we can. Make the church a priority. Make the church a priority. Last week, Pastor Tim shared Hebrews 10, 25, verse 24 says, and let's consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. as we see the day approaching. Tom Rainer, he used to be president of Lifeway, he came out with a new book. I read it this week. It's called Leading a Post-COVID Church. He said one of the reasons COVID has made us lose our way as a church is because we have become inward focused. We've quit looking out. We look at ourselves and no further. And because of that, he, and I quote, he said, church members have become ornery. Oh, you have no idea. You have no idea the various opinions there are in this church that make it to our desks, our emails, our phones, our ears about COVID. There are vastly different opinions. And I don't even know all the right answers. But I do know this. It's time for God's people to become the hands and the feet of the church. It's time for disconnected believers to find a church that's teaching the Word of God and join it. If you're here today and you're just thinking, you know what, I know God wants me to do something. If you've been visiting and you've been thinking, well, maybe I should join this church. Listen, you should. If God's leading you down this way, you should. But if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, that's the most important decision you'll ever make. But listen to this. I don't want First Baptist Church to look like that image behind those words someday. A beautiful monument, but nobody remembers the message. So here's a question. I want you to bow your head. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to think about something for just a minute. With your head bowed, your eyes closed, verse 14 of Haggai chapter 1 says this. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of God, the Lord of hosts, their God. Here's what I want to know. I want your head bowed. I don't want anybody to look around. How many of you would raise your hand and say, I'm going to be a Zerubbabel? I'm going to be a Zerubbabel. Would you do that? I'm going to ask you to do something. We're going to enter services in kind of an old-fashioned way today. We're going to have an altar call. Because I think that God's people need to get back on their knees at the altar. What I want to see are Zerubbabels stepping out of that pew and saying, I'm going to be a leader, and I'm going to make a difference. Would you come and kneel in this altar today? Would you begin praying that? You can come right now before we even start singing. Would you come? And God wants Zerubbabels to take a stand, to be a leader, to make a difference, to begin saying, I want this church to glorify God. Let's stand. God, be with these people. Be with me, God. Help me to know your will, God. Lord, I pray that you raise up Zerubbabels right among us that'll say, God, we're going to make this church glorify you. We're going to make this church a priority. We're going to let St. Charles, St. Peter's, O'Fallon, Wentzville, we're going to let North County, South County, we're going to let this area know that this church loves Jesus. As he sings in Christ's name, amen.